Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Listen, Jesus is trying to speak from the cross again. He's breathing heavy, and it's obvious he's dying. His breathing is labored, but he's still trying to speak from the cross. He's the most courageous man I know. For him to be hanging there on the cross like this, to be suffering as he is, after all that he's endured, he's still trying to speak to us from the cross. Listen, he's struggling to get the words out. He's already spoken to us about forgiveness. A couple hours ago, he looked up to heaven and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He prayed to the Father to forgive those who hung him there. Oh. And then, a little while ago, as the thieves were arguing, he offered salvation to the one repentant thief. Jesus was all about offering grace and mercy and salvation to any who would come to him. And then, not too long ago, he asked me to take care of his mother. And I told him I would. He's gasping, however. He wants to say something else. Oh, Lord Jesus, we're listening. We're listening. He's looking up to heaven. And he's crying to the Father. "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Oh, he's quoting the scriptures. He's quoting the psalmist. He's crying out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Well, that was the cry of our people centuries ago from the psalmist. Oh, even in his most agonizing moments, Jesus is quoting the scriptures. He's finding strength and endurance from the Word of God. "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Well, we know from the history of our people that God has never forsaken His people. We were the ones who forsook Yahweh, our Father. And yet Jesus must be applying the prophecies of old to himself. And surely, as I recall the psalmist, he is indeed fulfilling the prophecies of the Psalms, not only in his cry of being forsaken by the Father, but when the psalmist said, "They pierce my hands and my feet," and yes, we behold Jesus who hangs on the cross, his hands and his feet are pierced and nailed to the cross. And when the psalmist said, "They divide my clothing among them and cast lots for my garment," yes, Jesus is applying that to himself. We see the very prophecy of old being unfolded before us. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Oh, the agony of feeling as if he's abandoned by the Father must be even more terrible than the physical pain that he's enduring. We see the scars, we see the blood, we see the anguish, and yet the feeling of being abandoned by the Father must be even more dreadful than the physical sufferings that our Lord is enduring on the cross. Oh. And yet, even in his darkest moment, Jesus embraces the Word of God and finds solace in the words of Scripture. I remember one time when Jesus told us, when he first began his ministry, he was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy, by Satan. And Jesus, in another moment of humanness and hunger and thirst, as he fasted in the desert and Satan came to tempt him, Jesus held on to the Word of God, which gave him strength and endurance. And Jesus told the tempter, he said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word from the Lord." Oh, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the prophecy of Isaiah is true even before us. Oh, I remember what the prophet Isaiah said as he foretold of the Messiah who was despised and rejected by mankind, a man familiar with sufferings and sorrows, a man familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their face. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. Oh, my God, why have you forsaken me? Such pain, such agony, such abandonment, and yet, oh, Jesus, we are the ones who abandoned you. We are the ones who forsook you. Surely this is not divine abandonment, but reassurance in your sufferings. For the Father has promised he would never leave us or forsake us. We are the ones who forsook you, Jesus. I remember when Jesus told us, He said to us disciples, "A time is coming, and in fact the time has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone." But Jesus said, "I am not alone, for the Father is with me." Oh, Jesus, we're the ones who abandoned you. We are the ones who have not been faithful to you. Do you know why we're here? We're here because Judas sold Jesus out. Judas abandoned and forsook and betrayed Jesus. You know for how much? For 30 measly pieces of silver. That's why we're here. Judas is the one who brought us to this moment. I wonder what he's going to do with that dirty money. Oh, Jesus, the Father hasn't abandoned you. We are the ones who forsook you. We are the ones who have abandoned you. Oh, I remember what Jesus told us just a few hours ago. He said, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." And then I remembered what Peter said. He puffed his chest up and he said, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I will never." Oh, Peter was so arrogant. And then Jesus looked at him and he said, "This very night before the rooster crows, Peter, you will disown me 3 times. And Peter puffed his chest out even more with such arrogance and said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And you know what Peter did? He disowned and denied Jesus, just as our Lord said, not once, not twice, but 3 times. Oh, Jesus, the Father hasn't abandoned you. We are the ones. We are the ones who have been faithless to you. I remember couple of years ago when we were up in Capernaum and Jesus was teaching in the synagogues, and so many people came to hear Jesus, and there were large crowds. But then Jesus began to teach about the cost of following Him and how difficult it would be to follow Him, how we must give up everything to follow Him, how we must take up our cross daily to follow Him. And you know what? Many of those people who were once followers of Jesus and disciples of Jesus turned and left and abandoned Him. Oh, God, we are the ones who have forsaken You. We are the ones who have forsaken You, Jesus. Oh, my God, why have You forsaken me? Jesus, as the sin of the world hangs upon Your shoulders, and to feel as if You have been abandoned by the Father must be the most painful experience of all. And yet we are the ones who forsook You.
find the words, and I can barely breathe. I'm falling on my knees. Heaven help me, heaven help me.
One of the things I find incredibly amazing and admirable are reports and stories of people around the world who are actually going to Ukraine and Eastern Europe to help with what's happening there. I find that absolutely remarkable. Most of us find ways to be comfortable and to alleviate suffering for ourselves. The last thing we want to do is find ourselves intentionally going to a place of conflict and suffering. And yet, I'm just blown away by reports of people who will actually do that. They will leave the comforts of their suburban home or wherever and go and do their part as they enter into the sufferings of others to help bring alleviation and comfort and to do their part. Well, the Christian life is much like that. Jesus left the comforts of heaven and the glories of heaven and entered our broken world, knowing that he would suffer, knowing that he would be abandoned and betrayed by those closest to him, knowing that he would be beaten and abused and scorned and hung on a tree. Jesus did not shy away from that, but actually intentionally entered into our broken world. And then I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Remember, he's sitting in prison writing these words. And he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Let me repeat that phrase again. And the fellowship of sharing in the suffering of Christ, becoming like him in death. What I've tried to do these last 4 weeks now is give you a dramatic first-person account of the Apostle John at the foot of the cross, to help us enter into the sufferings of Christ. And I've got to tell you, for me, there's a spiritual intensity when you transport yourself back to the cross and to the event, and to try to experience and take in all the sights and sounds and everything that has happened. There's a spiritual intensity that happens to me to try to do that. And yet we cannot shy away from fellowshipping in the sharing of Christ's sufferings and becoming like him in his death. And in a way, that's part of what Holy Communion is for us. We participate in the sufferings and death of Christ, by which we are made whole in him. And so today we're going to partake in Holy Communion as we will every Sunday in Lent. The Apostle Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 11. He said, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, the Christian journey is one filled with peace and love and joy and fulfillment, but all that comes at a high cost. As we enter into the sufferings and sorrows and death of Christ, by which we then are made new in Christ. And so we, this day, as we sit in this comfortable church and we will go back to our comfortable homes, we remember there are millions of people around the world who truly are suffering. There are millions of refugees, not only in Europe, but in other parts of the world, who have no place to call home. They have no place to lay their head. They're constantly looking over their shoulder for fear of their life and the life of their children. And you've called us not to run away from suffering, but to embrace the sufferings of the world, even as Christ did. And so we enter into the sufferings and sorrows of Christ, even as God is with us through the hardships of life. We do pray for peace in this world. We pray for peace in the hearts of men and women. We pray that peace would overwhelm those who are in positions of power and authority, that they would not be driven by greed or lust for power and authority and dominion, but they would seek the peace of their nations. We pray for an end to warfare. We pray for an end to hatred. And we do pray for an end to suffering around the globe, as many innocent people are hurting. Lord, we confess our sins before you this day. We confess that we are in need of a suffering Savior who willingly laid down his life so that the peace of God could rule on this earth. And so somehow, Lord, through this great mystery of Holy Communion, we participate with you, and then we seek to do our part in being instruments of peace in this world. And so we confess our need for you. We confess our need for the body and blood of our Lord Jesus that nourishes us spiritually and gives us the ability to keep on being the people of God, the holy people of God you died to help us become. In your name we pray. Amen. So we ask that you come and receive the elements as we have every week, and take the elements back with you to your seats, and we will partake in Holy Communion together. Come one row at a time, please. Amen. Has everyone received the elements? As we hold the elements in our hands, we seek a greater appreciation of what Christ went through. That feeling of being abandoned by the Father. And I truly believe that was more painful for our Lord than the physical sufferings that he endured. The beatings, the crucifixion, all that was very painful. But the feeling of being abandoned, of knowing that his disciples betrayed him and denied him, and even feeling as if God the Father had left him. All that must have been so much more heartbreaking and wrenching to our Lord than the physical sufferings he endured. So as we hold the elements, let us, by faith, enter into the sufferings of Christ. Take and eat the bread, knowing that Christ died for you. The juice represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was spilled from his body down the cross onto the ground. That blood of Jesus, which can save us from our sins. Take and drink, knowing that Christ died for you. Stand with me, please, and let's sing the doxology this morning. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord, hear our prayers and hear our praises, and go with us as we seek to be faithful to you.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.